the Holocaust Museum in Washington. And over there on the wall where the little red circle is are these words written. It says, "Ye are my witness." And unwittingly, the person who put that on the wall there was acknowledging the Jew was the witness of the existence of God. And every person would see that who comes in. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah 43, verse 10 to 12. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Look at verse 1 of chapter 44. "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." Israel, we're told, are God's witnesses. They are God's servants, and they're those who God has chosen. The sad point is that Israel has forgotten these very things. The opportunity for them was great blessings if they believed and did the things of Almighty God and followed in his ways. But history tells us they turn from those things. Turn over a page to Isaiah 44 and verse 8. We read, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from what time? And have not I declared it? Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." Who is the witness? Once again, God tells us that Israel, the Jewish people, are God's witness. Look at verse 1 of that same chapter, chapter 44. "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, and with whom God has a purpose that he will fulfil." The prophecy of Isaiah that we have here is about the wickedness of Israel and the fact that God, for this wickedness, was going to destroy that nation before ultimately regathering them so that they may learn of his way. Something that's still in the future. While on one hand they're being called God's witnesses, they were also to be punished for their lack of obedience to the things of Almighty God. This in itself is a proof of the existence of God, who detailed the way in which his chosen people would act to show the proof of his very existence. He knew they were a stiff-necked and a hard-hearted people. He knew that they would turn from them, and he told them what would happen when that occurred. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 23 to 26. And we read here, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying," verse 24, "Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before. Thus saith the Lord, If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them." These are very challenging words for us. If we want to say that the Jew has no purpose with God today or into the future, because what we're being told is that if the Jew has no purpose, God has no purpose with this earth. What we're told here is not to consider or not to take heed of the words of those who said that God has cast off Israel so that they should have no further purpose in the plan of God, the plan that God has with this earth. God goes on to say here that the nation of Israel is definitely part of his plan and purpose with this earth. And he'll surely fulfil his purpose with Israel on the same certainty as day follows night. Look at verse 25. "If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed it in the ordinance of heaven and earth," that's how certain God is that he will perform what he has said with Israel. Look back in verse 20. "Thus saith the Lord, If ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should be not be day and night in their seasons, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant," and so forth. So you want to stop God's purpose with Israel. You want to stop God's purpose with the Jews. stop the sun coming up tomorrow morning. So God has said, as sure as day follows night, so sure is my purpose with Israel. Have a look at verse 26. And they said that then will I cast away my servant Jacob. So if you can stop day and night, then I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity return and have mercy on them. Let's consider that last little bit first. He says, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. So God was saying to Jeremiah, but ultimately I'm going to bring them back from that captivity and I'm showing mercy to them despite what they've done. But if we go back to the start of that verse, what are we told? If you can stop the sun coming up in the morning, well, I'll cast away the seed of Jacob and David, my servant. I'll cast away those who are of the seed of them, so that I will not have any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Who's the seed of Abraham? We know that, don't we? Look in verse 16, Galatians 3. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The seed of Abraham is Christ. Jeremiah 33, we're told, take away the Jewish people, stop day and night following each other, and I'll cast off one from being a ruler over the seed of Abraham. So who's going to be cast off if that occurs? Look in verse 29 of Galatians 3. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In a nutshell, what that's telling us is those who believe, who are faithful to the things of Almighty God, are Christ's. And they are also of the seed of Abraham. If you want to say that Israel has no purpose in the things of Almighty God, then this here has no relevance to us today. The Bible tells us that the things of Almighty God show that Israel will be a nation. If we turn to Zechariah 10, Zechariah 10, and from verses 6 to 10, and we read there of what the Jew will say when they see Christ, ultimately when he returns. What we have here in Zechariah 10, verse 6 to 10, speaks of the return of the Jews to the land after they were scattered by the Romans in AD 70. And we read in verse 6, and I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them. For I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. And they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. So in this passage we read of the fact that God will bring the house of Judah and Ephraim back to the land again, that they will be strengthened and they will be as though they had not been cast off. What we see in Israel today is but the start of this. A fraction of those who will eventually return as God calls them from the four corners of the globe. People say the Jews crucified Christ and therefore God has cast them off. Not so is the word of Scripture. Have a look in Zechariah 13 and verse 6. And it's speaking of the same time when Christ will be in the earth again, when the Jew will be in the land. And it says that this is what they're going to say to him. One shall say unto him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, what are these wounds in thy hands? And what's he going to answer and say? Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. See, if the Jews cast off, and these things don't refer to the Jews, one of the things that is going to make the Jews realise in that day what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ is when they see the wounds in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll see that they crucified him, and they will realise that in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, they also turn their backs on their God. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. Speaking of the same time again, he says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." As we said, they'll see the holes in the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And last, where did those wounds come from? We might look and say, how can the Jew do that? Everybody knows that the Jews crucified Christ. You know, if we were to say that the Jew has no purpose in the plan of God, we've really got to deny that the Jew crucified Christ, because who could this verse refer to otherwise? Who were his friends that wounded him? They were the Jews, weren't they? We know that. The fact that the nation of Israel exists today and the Jew exists today is proof of the existence of God. You know, God's preserved the Jew down through the ages, hasn't he? Right from the time when they went down into Egypt and Pharaoh conspired to destroy that nation, God made sure that they were preserved. Well, they went on. The nations came against them. They persecuted them. But God made sure that they retained their identity, that there was still a Jew there. But in all nations, there was always Jews. They didn't become Romans or Spanish or French or British. They might have liked to have, but they always had the stigma of being a Jew. But you go somewhere like New York and have a look and see, and there's Jews everywhere. They stand out. In the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Israel had turned from God to such an extent that God deemed them worse than the nations that he'd driven out when he brought Israel into the land of Israel under Joshua. He deemed that they were worse than those nations that God had decreed should be destroyed. And so what God did is he brought against those nations the Babylonians who took them away. And if you'll turn with me to Ezekiel 21, verse 27, we have a prophecy there of what would occur to that nation. While it's not totally fulfilled, what has been fulfilled has happened to the letter. "And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come, whose right it is, and I will give it." What we have recorded here is a prophecy given to the last king of Israel. "Zedekiah, you're a wicked king. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove the crown. I'm going to take the diadem. Those things that a king uses, he's going to take those things away." And God said in verse 27, "I'll overturn it." It's been overturned twice. And there's still no king there. But what does it say in verse 27? "It shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him." There's a third overturning yet to come. But for that nation to be overturned, or for that people to be overturned, they had to be a nation again. So what happened in 1948? The nation of Israel was reborn, wasn't it? The Babylonians overturned it, and the Romans overturned it again in 1870. But up until 1948, there was no nation of Israel. And throughout that time, they were driven from place to place. They never found a place that they could call home. World War II came and they were hunted and they were destroyed by the Germans. Turn with me back to Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 14 to 18. We're told there, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt." We know that happened under Moses. "But the Lord liveth which brought the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rock. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face. Neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of detestable and abominable things. But what Jeremiah 16 tells us is that one day they won't say, the Lord liveth who did that. But they'll say rather, the Lord liveth who brought the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all lands whither he's driven them. That can only happen today. It couldn't happen prior to AD 70. In AD 70, when the Romans took them away, they took them everywhere. Well, first he'll coax them back to the land. He says, I'll fish for them in verse 16. So he had men like Theodore Herzl, who had a dream, of men like Eliezer Ben-Yehuda. He pushed for a homeland for the Jews in Israel. They fished, they tried to bring them back, but it didn't work. They came back with a trickle. And then God says, I'll send for hunters, and will hunt them out of the holes of the rock, and from them every mountain and every hill. And what did Nazi Germany do? They chased them down everywhere. And they butchered them in their thousands. And after the end of World War II, they came back in their droves. They wanted to be in a land of their own. You remember the prophecy we spoke about in the three overturnings? The third is yet to occur, isn't it? When the Russian Confederacy comes against that nation. But for that to occur, there had to be a nation in Israel today called the Nation of Israel. Over 150 years ago, a Christadelphian writer wrote the following words, based on his understanding of the Bible. He said, there is then a partial and primary restoration of Jews before the manifestation, which is to serve as the nucleus or basis of future operations in the restoration of the rest of the tribes after he that is Christ has appeared in the kingdom. The pre-adventual colonisation of Palestine will be on purely political principles, and the Jewish colonists will return in unbelief of the Messiahship of Jesus and of the truth that is in him. They will emigrate thither as agriculturalists and traders in the hope of ultimately establishing their commonwealth, but more immediately in getting rich in silver and gold by commerce with India and in cattle and goods by their industry at home under the efficient protection of the British power. What we see in Israel today with that Jewish nation is exactly as this man, a Dr. Thomas, understood from the scriptures. Then it will take the third overturning for that nation to understand who Almighty God is. Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 3. We read, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Fear not, Israel. Jeremiah 46, but fear not, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and be in rest, and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. Yes, Israel's back in the land today, in a token way, but they're not at ease, and they're not at rest. These things are still in the future. He says, fear not, Jacob, for I'm with thee. I will make a full end of all nations where I've driven you, but I will not make a full end of thee. Just as it's impossible to stop the sun and the moon in their courses, and as the heavens will never be measured, nor the depths of the earth fully explored, so God's purpose with the nation will be fulfilled.